Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be all right with it. Yeah.
I think Doris Burke put it best. She said that this last game was something like a bad date, and it just took forever to end. But early on, the Sixers, I mean, they put up a fight. And, I mean, I still didn't think they were going to come through. I mean, the Celtics just have too much firepower, and it takes, I think it was going to take a significant amount of willpower for the Sixers to finish this one off. And I mean, what's this? This is the Celtics' seventh sweep, I think, in franchise history, which I had no idea it was that low. Pretty remarkable considering, you know, how much success they've had over the years, but it also speaks to how poorly the Sixers did throughout this series. And they're talking about on the broadcast how it's not just Brett Brown, how it's Elton Brand. And when we had Kai Carlin on from Sixers Wire to preview this series, he pointed that out. It's not just about Brett Brown as much as he has lost the locker room and how much his guys are frustrated and he just cannot seem to resonate with them. I think you got to look at Elton Brand and how he's putting this team together. And you know, what's funny is, I don't know if for anybody who follows Anna Horford, I saw someone retweet this. She tweeted how Al plays so much better with Embiid sitting. And I can't imagine that goes over well. Again, I mean, she goes and says how Embiid's amazing, but they don't play together. That's a problem. I mean, and I don't know how Elton Brand doesn't see that coming into when he signs Al Horford. Is he going to mesh well necessarily with his big guy here? He has a big guy. So that's a problem. But look, the Sixers, I think that not having Ben Simmons definitely, it has to help Elton Brand's case out a little bit. But for Brett Brown, you got to imagine that. I would think he's been there. What, this is his seventh season coaching the team, and then they go and get swept in the first round. As much as, you know, You would think that if you're Brett Brown, if you have that high of opinion of him as a coach and Embiid, that they would somehow find a way to win a game in this series from a Philadelphia perspective. And we thought, Ty, Matt, and I all thought that the Sixers were going to win at least one game even without Simmons. Matt had it at five games, Ty had it at six, and I had it at five. And then when Gordon Hayward goes down, absolutely, the Sixers should be winning a game in this series, but the Celtics just looked too good throughout all of it. And one of the big reasons for that, too, was Kemba Walker. He looks like he is back to being Kemba, period. Like, he's back to normal. Obviously, they got to continue to monitor the knee and everything, but this is not just a promising sign for the rest of the postseason. I think this is a promising sign for the future. It just shows that, yes, the knee's going to be an issue, but when he can get it under control, he's going to be the guy that you signed. The thing is that the monitoring of his knee, I think, is something that they didn't fully expect. I would imagine they didn't fully expect, because obviously it turned into a whole mess with the All-Star game and everything. But it's just something they're going to have to look at more closely throughout the course of his contract. But, I mean, today he goes off for, 32 points. Obviously, those last two came, you know, when the game was pretty much well at hand. I know it was 110-106 at the end, but anybody who watched, for those who didn't, I mean, the Celtics had that game all the way to the end. It was easy. But Kemba Walker, 8 for 15 from the floor, 4 of 9 from 3, getting to the free throw line 13 times, nailing 12 of them. And again, there were a couple cheap ones at the end, but he still got to make them. I love where he's at right now. I do think that him getting back to where he's supposed to be has impacted Jaylen Brown a little bit. And that's okay, though. It's because Jaylen Brown is supposed to be, when you sign Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown is supposed to be your three, unless you expected Gordon Hayward to be your three in terms of your best scoring options. Obviously, Gordon Hayward, we've talked about it ad nauseum, how he brings other stuff to the floor. not necessarily what you want from the guy, how much you pay the guy, but that's a whole nother story. We're not getting into that right now, especially with Matt not here to go and complain about it. But I think with Jalen, the last two games of the series, his production went down a little bit. Now, 16 points, yes, of course, that's obviously a step back because at the beginning of the series, he had 29 points and 20 in game two. Game three, he had 21, but he didn't shoot quite as well, 6 of 16, 1 for 5 from the floor. But when you look at, obviously, that first game, 5 for 8 from three, when you look at it coming into this game, he was shooting 40% from three, 46% from the floor. This game, 6 of 15, 2 of 9, not quite the same, but at the same time, if you're getting Jason Tatum doing what he's shown that he can do pretty much on a nightly basis, 10 of 18, 2 for 5 from 3, 15 rebounds, which is apparently a career high. I didn't realize that. He obviously had a couple blocks, too. One of them was ridiculous. But going into the series against the Raptors, now I'm recording this before the Raptors finish off the series against the Nets, but it's inevitable. It's just a matter of, is it going to be a sweep? Is it going to be five games? Are the Nets somehow going to pull one out? They don't have Joe Harris. I don't see how that could happen. But the Celtics are going to end up playing the Raptors. And we're going to do a whole preview episode in addition to wrapping up this series at some point before the Celtics play them. But I think we're going to have to wait a little bit because it's going to be dependent on the Bucks-Magic series. I think we're going to have to wait for everyone else to be done, at least in the Eastern Conference, before the Celtics can get rolling against the Raptors. But there are still question marks off the top of my head after watching this series going into against the Raptors. One obvious one is obviously the backup big versus the Raptors. Cantor was good in this series. He was good. Maybe a little bit better than good, but he was scoring free. Obviously, you know he's going to rebound. That's never going to be an issue. Defensively, he was tough for Joel Embiid. But you're not going to face a big who does the same things as Joel Embiid does for the Raptors. Where he's supposed to be a guy who goes inside and that's where he's most effective. Obviously, Embiid settled for a lot of shots and that was good because you'd rather see him take those. He has good post moves and everything, but Cantor forced him to make a lot of dumb decisions. Tice getting into foul trouble throughout the series is concerning, but if he's going to go against guys like Serge Ibaka who will try and shoot from the outside, or Marc Gasol who will try and shoot from the outside, he's going to have more of an impact. But if they try and get him in foul trouble early, which you know that the Raptors are going to be looking at everything they did against Tice, because if you take Tice out of the game for the Celtics, that is going to be a huge issue. So if he can't keep that under control, and I mean, the refs, they make some questionable calls against Tice too. We all know this watching. Pick any random call and usually it's like, Tice gets that like anti-star treatment, I guess, out there. So that's the biggest concern going into this. Is it going to be Robert Williams, who didn't get a lot of minutes throughout this series? Is it going to be Grant Williams, who is providing some offense from three? Obviously, he's not shooting a ton, but he's making the most of his opportunities. Again, made a three-pointer today. If he's getting that one attempt a game and he's making it, then you can't complain about that. I think we'll see a little bit more of him and less of Cantor in the series. But Ty, Matt, and I will take a deeper dive going into the series. The other big thing, or when we do our series preview, excuse me. The other big thing, though, is Marcus Smart's shooting throughout this series. So against the Sixers in Game 4, where he played 41 minutes, he went 3 for 6 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3, 1 for 2 from the line. And that's fine. I mean, that's, you know, shooting 50% all around. You can't ask for more than that. As much as you would expect him to maybe shoot a little bit more with Gordon Hayward out, where he's had his struggles, I don't mind him taking a step back, especially if Daniel Tice, who shot well today, 6 for 12 from the floor, 2 for 5 from deep, 15 points. If you're getting that out of him, Jaylen Brown, ideally you get a little bit more than 16 points out of him, but obviously Tatum and Kemba combined for, what was it, 60 points? Yeah, they combined for 60 points today. You know, in shooting efficiently throughout all of that, I like where they're both at right now. But still, when you look at Marcus Smart throughout the series, coming into Game 4, he was shooting 29% from the floor. He was shooting, I can't believe this one, he was 1 for 13 from 3. He only made 1 3, and that was in Game 2 prior to Game 4. That's a .07.7% three-point percentage. Now, I would say that's probably more like an outlier, but he obviously struggled a little bit throughout the course of seeding play. That's a guy, excuse me, who you need to get on track to beat the Raptors, because they're going to be tough for Tatum. They're definitely going to be tough for Kemba. When you have Van Vliet out there, you have Kyle Lowry, who are going to play physically and against Kemba. Now, Kemba looked quick throughout all this, but I don't think that Richardson, I don't think that Thybulle, Shake Milton, those guys, as much as they have their moments, I think Shake Milton and Thibault have room to grow. I think they can make an impact in the league, but I don't think they're where the Sixers, you know, need them to be right now. And it's not necessarily fair to ask that of those guys. Richardson's a little bit different, but at the same time, I don't think Richardson is as good as Van Vliet or as Lowry, especially on the defensive end. And they just add a different element because of their physicality and their build. That is a concern going into this series, given the issues that Kemba has had with his knee. But he looks good. He looks quick and everything. So I'm not overly concerned with that. Maybe Matt and Tyler have a different opinion and maybe change my mind on that. But either way, you need Smart to be an option for you if those guys are going to be creating fits, because you're going to see those guys dealing with Jaylen Brown too. As much as there's a size different disadvantage for the Raptors with one of those two, their physicality can kind of make up for that. So, but all in all, right now, as much as we've said that we don't think that this, I know Matt was kind of up in the air going into the postseason about how the Raptors and the Celtics series was going to go. Ty and I were more Raptors, I think, going into this. Yeah, I think I was as well. I think the Celtics taking care of business when they needed to, when they got, you know, kind of punched in the face, they pretty much fought right back. Obviously, they ended up winning the series and they shot well for the most part. I think they're in a decent spot going against the Raptors right now. I think it's still going to be, I think it's going to be a long series. I don't, if it was five, either way, I'd be stunned. Even six would probably surprise me a little bit. I think it's very likely that both teams will win three games in this. We'll dive into it a little bit deeper. Check where everybody's health status is for the Raptors too. Seems like everybody's fine with the Celtics at this stage, but there are some pretty significant disadvantages for the Celtics. And I've gotten a pretty good look at the Raptors as they've played the Nets, but at the same time, the Nets are, you know, they're not even the Nets they were pre-bubble. As much as they fought hard in seeding play and had some pretty big upsets, they just don't have the firepower to fight back against the Raptors. And now that they don't have Joe Harris either, where you have that option to stretch the floor, that's going to be a problem too. So I'll probably go back and look at that game two tape, because that was where the Nets almost beat the Raptors. And maybe that'll give a little insight as to what the Celtics need to do against them. But either way, so you know, if you're following us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, radio.com, wherever, if you're subscribed to us there or following us on Twitter, you'll get that heads up for when that next episode is. I don't know when it'll be right now, but once the matchups are set up and the times and dates and everything, we'll probably do an episode that will come out either the day before game one or game one. So just make sure you subscribe and you guys will find us there. Other than that, we will talk to you that.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah, I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.